The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With the all-new Nissan Juke. The coupe crossover by Nissan. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
And this is The Hard Shoulder. Kieran Cuddihy with you until 7 o'clock this evening. Now, we can exclusively reveal here on the show that Anne Rabbitt, the Junior Minister for Disability, has ordered the HSE to stop the removal of on-site specialists from special needs schools. This is a story that we have been covering in great detail. We have heard from parents up and down this country, including the parents at some of these schools who are terrified at the prospect of losing their dedicated therapist. Our own reporter, Casey O'Riordan, has all the details on this and has the story. Casey, great news, and I'm sure huge relief for everybody listening who has anything to do with those schools. You might remind us, why was this happening for a start?
Yeah, so it's all because of the rollout of this Progressing Disability Services Programme. And it's basically a reconfiguration of the way children's disability services are to be delivered in Ireland. 96 of these children's disability network teams are to be set up as part of the programme. And then children with complex needs will be able to access lots of different services or therapies in one place. But what came to light when the programme started to be rolled out in areas where there were special schools is that it was having a really negative impact. And, you know, you'll remember a few weeks ago we were reporting on The Hard Shoulder about the Holy Family School for the Deaf in Dublin being on the verge of losing their on-site speech and language therapist. And then this week I've been speaking to the principal and parents of St. Columba's National School in Douglas, which has a deaf unit with 34 children, and they've suddenly lost their speech and language therapist, who was coming two mornings a week. And it's been really devastating for these schools, and they've mounted campaigns to try to retain their services, and it seems now they've been successful because the Junior Minister for Disability, Anne Rabbitt, has met with the HSE in the last couple of hours to tell them that the rollout of this Progressing Disability Services programme is to be paused, and that more importantly, no special schools will lose any on-site provision. And she specifically mentioned that that includes the two deaf schools that we just mentioned, the Holy Family in Dublin, St. Columba's in Cork, and two special education schools who had also raised concerns with her, and that's Carmona in Dunleary and Rosedale in Galway. So just a few days ago, Kieran, this felt far from resolved, and I was speaking to Trina Fitzgerald, the principal of St. Columba's in Douglas, and this is how she felt at the time.
Now, the lady in charge of the Progressing Disability Services, she did tell me, she said, at every stage there are hiccups and we get them sorted, we iron them out. And I was saying, well, at this stage we have this hiccup, can we iron it out? And she just was saying, this is the way things are happening, and it's for the children's best and the families, and it's child and family centred. And yeah, just, I'd say, suck it up. Now, she didn't say suck it up, but that was, and the primary care lady as well was very much, this is what's happening. I don't think they set out to remove a resource. I think they just didn't think that they're rolling out this service, which in general and in theory will be really good. They didn't stop to think, and it's, I feel like, collateral damage, really, basically. I don't think they set out to take our service away from us, but it's what's happening as a result of this rollout.
Okay, Trina Fitzgerald there from St. Columba's in Douglas. Casey, we may have a resolution here, but can you explain what was the issue?
Yeah, so I suppose for the last 10 years or so, children in these deaf schools, just for example, have been getting speech and language therapy as part of their school day. And it's a therapy that for many of them is really vital to help them communicate, to help them comprehend. And it's almost like a key to their education. You know, the therapist would take them for a one-on-one session, drop them back to the classroom, then the therapist can have a quick chat with the teacher, so teacher knows that, you know, Adam, for example, is working on his S sounds this week, and she can then really integrate it into the schoolwork and reinforce it. That's something that's really important for deaf children. You know, the system was actually described to me by one parent as seamless, but with the new setup, it meant that the therapy would be exclusively delivered off-site, and no parent that I spoke to over the last month has been able to get a straight answer as to how that would work. You know, would it mean that parents had to come into the school, sign their child out, bring them to an appointment, bring them back? Some of these families with deaf children live really far away from the schools because, you know, there's not that many in the country. You know, were their appointments going to be near the school or near where they lived? Would they see the same therapist week in, week out? Would it be a different therapist? Would they know sign language? Would they have worked with deaf children before? There was just, I suppose, endless questions that were unanswered for these parents. And as well, school is actually really exhausting for a deaf child. It can take a lot out of them. It takes a lot of energy. and concentration because of their hearing difficulties to comprehend what's going on in a classroom. So the back and forth from appointments as well as missing school time was a nightmare for parents. And, you know, in the last few days, I spoke to Therese McGrath, whose son is in fifth class in St. Columbus. And you can hear how worried she was about the prospect of this.
How can it happen? That has benefited my son to an extraordinary amount. No, it really has. If there's a difficulty, the speech therapist on site, they can ask a question. They can, each child is unique, you know, and 40% of the deaf kids have a complex need, you know, and speech therapists would have a lot of experience with children with complex needs. So all of that is going to be lost. It's all going to be lost. And each child, like, they're going to be linked in now with where they live. So how many different speech therapists will be affiliated with that school, if you know what I mean? How many will be able to link in with the school and take it? That's one teacher then, say, with seven kids in the class, trying to link in with seven different speech therapists, you know, instead of the one. They have to reverse the decision. They have to. They have to provide us with a speech therapist. You know, it wasn't a lot of hours. She used to visit 2 days a week, but it wasn't two full days. You know, the school didn't have a full-time speech therapist. I mean, that would have been amazing, but that wasn't the case. It has to be reversed. I can't see any other way around it, to be honest. I really can't. I can't see how it can work.
Yeah, Therese McGrath there. You've interviewed Anne Rabbitt as well, the minister with responsibility in this area. Casey, what commitment has she given about these services?
Yeah, so the minister is saying that no special schools, including the two deaf schools we've been speaking about, will lose their on-site provision. But she's also pausing the rollout of the Progressing Disability Services programme. So Minister Rabbitt says that she feels the HSE hasn't been listening to these schools or to the parents. And she said that a bold move like this was needed to get the HSE to take it seriously.
Could have been perhaps managed differently. And I think I discussed that with you the last day. Could have been managed with the communication. It needs to say in the letter, you will hold on to your speech and language therapist, but out of term time, she will support, or he will support, the local network disability team. Nowhere in any of the letters, be it in Cork, Galway or Dublin, was it as black and white as that. My understanding, my direction was as black and white as that. If you're a parent reading the letter, it needs to be black and white. If you're a principal delivering the message, it needs to be black and white. And you need to have the comfort that what you're saying is actually what's going to happen. Yes, there was no comfort for the parents. There was no comfort for the principals. And it seemed like we were merciless, lack of compassion. And it fell back on me. It's not the HSE. It was back on me that we weren't listening, understanding, recognising. And it's gone on for a month. The School of Canberra, we're talking about it a month. I've been very clear since the first day I stood up in the Shannon about what was happening in Cabra. That message was not being drilled down locally.
Okay, Minister Anne Rabbitt, out there, what does this mean for the Progressing Disability Service programme, Casey? Because I suppose despite these unfortunate incidents, reform is something many would acknowledge is needed.
Yeah, so the Children's Disability Network teams will continue to be rolled out. But as the minister says, it just won't be at the cost of special schools. So what will happen now, Minister Rabbitt says, is she'll ask the HSE to do a head count of how many specialists within the special schools nationwide. And then when they have that figure, her department and the HSE will kind of be able to work together to figure out how to roll out the programme without taking from the school's existing provisions.
I'm tasking the HSE to tell me, how many clinicians is that going to be that's impacted on the delivery of the model of PDS that we were relying on? And I don't think it's fair that we should be diluting a service. We need to be ambitious for children with disabilities. And regardless of their ability, we need to be ambitious as a government, we need to be ambitious as a department, and we need to be ambitious for the state that disability shouldn't be taking from the most vulnerable to spread thinly and then maybe never deliver a service. Whereas in actual say how we can bolster PDS, and is there other layers that we need to look at PDS, and could we work more in conjunction with it? So that's the ambition I want for it, to be honest with you. The pause is, all right, so how many clinicians was it? Was that 100 clinicians you said? What was their specialities of it? Right, so that's my job in the political sphere to actually go and look for and say to the Taoiseach, to my colleagues in government, right, we need to ethically to support these families. But this is the cost of it. It's 100 clinicians. But I do believe it's a stronger service we'll deliver.
All right, Minister Anne Rabbitt, there revealing exclusively to our own reporter, Casey O'Riordan, that she's pausing the rollout of the Progressing Disability Services programme and that no special schools, including those two deaf schools we've been speaking about, will lose their on-site provision. Casey, thank you very much for putting all of that together. I'm delighted to say that Emer O'Rourke, principal of the Holy Family School for the Deaf in Cabra, is on the line. Emer, I appreciate you're only learning this in the last couple of moments, that you're not going to lose your on-site provision. How do you feel?
Well, it's obviously very welcome news, and this seems to be a very strong statement from the Minister. And what's very new here is the pause of the rollout of progressing disabilities. I mean, the Minister is already on record as, you know, saying that she doesn't agree with the loss of on-site provision. But to date, we've had nothing in writing from the HSE, and that's very, very important. So I suppose I'd very much like to listen again to the Minister's statement. And perhaps, you know, she has agreed to a meeting with our school to hear from her in greater detail how that might work. And I suppose we'd hope in the interim that she'd continue to engage with the HSE to ensure that this policy is becomes a reality for us and the other deaf schools in Ireland.
How important will it be for the students in the school to keep that on-site provision?
Massively important, and I think Casey captured the key points there in her report. And we also heard the parents, and the anxiety of that parent was enormous. So I think whatever decision is to be made, or however, you know, progressing disabilities is to be paused, the sooner we get some confirmation, the better, so we can reassure our parents and our staff and ensure that our children won't lose this vital support that they need.
Yeah, I mentioned how important for the children. I mean, parents as well, because it's parents we've been speaking to, by and large, on this show, Emer, in recent weeks about this issue and other issues in a similar sphere. I mean, huge anguish for parents trying to fight for these services, isn't there?
Yeah, I think that's very unfair that they have to do that. I mean, the children by right need these services, and particularly deaf children. Their primary need is language development and communication also. So really, the stress shouldn't be there. And we as a school, we're very willing to engage with the HSE and have continued to do so over the course of this campaign to ensure that this service won't be lost. And I, you know, I really welcome the statement from the Minister, but I'd really like to see the detail.
Yeah.
I want to really be assured that if we are not to lose our on-site provision, that it's not watered down in any way, and that it's going to replicate exactly what we currently have and move towards a place where there are actually greater multidisciplinary supports for deaf children nationally.
Yeah, because I was about to say that, like, maintaining services, obviously, like I said, I'm sure you're hugely relieved at. The reality is we need better services and more services.
We do. I mean, we've had this provision on site for 10 years. But we always look forward to progressing disabilities becoming a reality, because we hope that there would be add-on services, including psychology, maybe OT as well, because deaf children need this universal integrated approach to really make progress. And what was proposed under the rollout of progressing disabilities was really a retrograde step and didn't take into account, as Principal Trina down in Cork said, you know, the real needs of deaf children. And they certainly were going to be collateral damage with regard to this provision.
Why do you think there's such a paucity of services, Emer? I mean, you know, I've been covering this story for quite a long time, and maybe it was easy to write off some of the shortcomings 10 years ago when the country was mired in recession. I mean, up until COVID last year, let's be honest about it, right, not everyone felt it, but the economy by and large was going gangbusters. Like, we are a wealthy country, we have an abundance of resources, you know, by any international standard, and yet we fail children.
I don't have the answer to that, but I think it's extremely disappointing. And while deaf children might be a very small group nationally, they are equal to other children. And under the Constitution, we need to cherish all children equally. And my remit is the deaf children in my school, and I absolutely believe they need full support to achieve their true potential. And they're at risk if they're not enabled to achieve their full potential.
Well, we've a text in here that says, well done, Anne Rabbit. That's the kind of talk we need, sincere and passionate. We're also sick of the harshness and coldness of the HSE. Emer, we appreciate your time. Emer O'Rourke, principal of the Holy Family School for the Deaf in Cabra. Look, I am delighted for Emer. I am delighted, more importantly, for the pupils in that school and in other schools. I'm delighted for their parents that they're going to keep those services, those hugely, hugely important resources. And look, I'm glad that Anne Rabbit, the minister with responsibility in this area, that she has listened to all of those parents who have been speaking on this show, on the Hard Shoulder in recent weeks. And look, we're glad as well that we could play some tiny, tiny little part as well in getting those voices out there. In reality, despite this good news, this is the tip of the iceberg. And we're going to try and maintain our focus here on this show, on this issue. We're going to try to continue to give these children a voice, because the fact is, too many children in this society, too many of our most vulnerable children are without a voice. They are denied resources that nobody should have to fight for, as Emer mentioned there. I mean, we've said it before, there are 25,000 children with special needs waiting today for speech and language therapy services. There are many, many thousands more who have had some therapy services, but nowhere near enough to make a blind bit of difference to their lives. That is a failure of this government. It is a failure of successive governments. A failure like that deserves to be called out, and we're going to continue to call it out on this show with your help. 53106 is the number. If you want to share your views or your experience of those services with us, you can call us on 1890 453106. Plenty still to come on the show today. We're going to speak to Michelle O'Neill, the Deputy First Minister of Northern Ireland, and the Sinn Féin Vice President. We're going to be joined a little bit later.